Tonight, we're going to take a look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, one verse. We were going to look at two or three verses tonight, but as I continue to look at it, I just cannot go so quick, because there are some incredible insights, I believe, that we're going to learn concerning the faith that God desires us to have. And so we've been looking at a series on Thursday night, Living by Faith, and tonight is a faith which yields. Now we have looked at the life of Sarah, we've looked at the life of Abraham, part 1, part 2, and part 3, of his life as he gave Isaac to be sacrificed, and then of course as he turned the sacrifice into a life of worship. And we've taken a look at Enoch, how he walked with God, Noah, how he worked for God, and Abel, how he worshiped with God. And so we have kind of looked at each of these different people and how that at certain moments of their time, God gave them just an incredible amount of faith to believe. Well, tonight, I think it's another one of those life-changing moments it is in my life where God just kind of opens the door. And it's not an easy study. It was a difficult study, I have to tell you, because I kept wanting to go back to the moment where Isaac yielded his life with Abraham upon the altar. But that's not what the Bible teaches here. It says, by faith, he blessed Jacob, which takes us in the context to a whole different direction. Yes, Isaac yielded to his father, Abraham. He allowed Abraham to tie him up, place him on the altar, and we know that he was anywhere from 30 to 33 years old. He was a willing sacrifice. He fits the type. But later on in life, he became an extreme disappointment spiritually. And you find that in all the other patriarchs, Abraham and Jacob and Joseph, over 12 chapters are written about them, but only two are written about Isaac. And in those two, we begin to find some sad things that are mentioned. And one of those is how he loved to eat. And food became a passion in his life. And we're going to see that tonight. And so I'm going to lay this out and pray that God opens our heart. And so we pick up the story here in Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. Let's read down to verse 22. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both his sons Joseph and worshipped and leaned upon the top of his staff. We'll take a look at that next week. And then the following week, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention the parting of the children of Israel, gave commandments concerning his bones. But in verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. Well, Father, we ask tonight that you would give us tremendous insight and God areas of our life that we might be able to grow in a deeper commitment to a life of faith. That God, that you would show us that you're always working in and through our lives. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so you have the faith of Isaac here in verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. And the faith of Isaac in this one verse is kind of unique. He believed, no doubt, in the promises of God. And he also believed in the power of God. But it was towards the very end of his life that it seemed that the faith really kicked in. Just like Sarah, who is now 90 years old and begins to laugh about the promises of God, that she's going to conceive. And you remember I mentioned that to you before. And the angel said, why are you laughing? And she said, I'm not. And he said, yes, you are. So at that very moment, God opened her heart that there was someone else that knew her heart, and that was God. And because of that moment, she had the faith to believe that God was going to do the work. I believe the very same thing happened with Abraham. That when she gave birth, he saw Isaac. And out of the deadness came life. Out of that barren womb came forth fruit. And in that split moment, he believed in the power of the resurrection before it was ever taught. So when he was now ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, he said to the two men, "You guys wait here. I and the lad are going to go and worship, and we will come again, and God will even raise him." In other words, he knew that if he had to kill his son, God would raise him from the dead. So God gives you moments in your life. Enoch is another classic example. At 65, he begins to walk with God. And we believe it was because of the birth of Methuselah. That there, as he saw Methuselah being born, something triggered in his life. And Abraham, at the age of 75, began to leave Ur and begin to walk with God. So this thing about just having faith at the very beginning is great. But I believe that along the way, God wants to just give you just another dose of that faith, where you become to see God and know God in a very intimate way. Maybe you've trusted South Bay, or you've trusting teaching, or Greg Glory's teaching, or whatever it might be. But something has happened in your life that God came through for you. And now your faith is beginning to build like it's never built before. And you're beginning to talk to God and believe God, and God is honoring you. Well, that's exactly what happens in our life. I believe we go through moments and seasons and even dry times. But I believe that if you're faithful and you continue to look to God, that God is going to break through that barren time. And we see that in Jeremiah, that God will have grace in the wilderness. That in the midst of this horrible situation, God will give you tremendous strength. And so we see tonight just really the life of Isaac. 12 chapters concerning Abraham, another 12 concerning Joseph, only 2 concerning this man Isaac. And his whole life is pretty much lived in Genesis chapter 26 and 27, where it talks about some of the things he went through. And I think one of the keys, I want you to turn with me to Genesis 27, and we want to take a look at verses 1 through 4, and I want to show you something that's kind of disturbing about this guy of faith. It says in Genesis 27, verses 1 through 4, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dimmed, so that he," excuse me, "so that he could not see. He called Esau, his elder son, said unto him, 'My son,' he said unto him, 'Behold, here am I.' He said, 'Behold, now I am old, and now know the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapon, and thy bow and thy arrow, and go out to the field and take some venison, and make me a savior meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die.'" Now go back to Genesis 25:28, and this is so sad. It goes on to declare, "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison." And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. And go with me as you're in Genesis 25 to verse 21. "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived." Now, check this out. "And the children struggled together within her," twins. "And Rebekah," she said, "'It be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. So from the very conception, they understood that Jacob would have the birthright. So why is Esau now seeking to go against the will of God to get food? And secondly, why is the food first and then the spiritual blessing second? I think there are some important things to take a look at. And yet, he goes down in the hall of faith, and I believe there's a reason for it. And God is going to, I believe, has a lot of things to say. So by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Well, the first thing I realize is that Isaac's passiveness. There is a very insight when you begin to read through these passages. It says in Genesis 26, verses 1 through 4, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, into Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So no doubt he understood what God wanted. God wanted to bless his life. God wanted to do a work. But what a difference between Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith. He was willing to step out into the unknown, willing to sojourn in the land that he had not ever seen before. Isaac was not really willing to get beyond his tent. He was more concerned about what he ate. And Jacob, you remember, he was seeking to trick and deceive and to con Laban and everything else. He even said to the Lord, hey, you know, you bless me, I'll give you a tenth, before the tithe was ever established within the law. So people say, well, the tithe is not part of the, you know, Christian walk. It was, the tithe was given way before the law was ever written. It was in the heart of Jacob. He was a wise man. Lord, I'll live off 90%. If you make me a millionaire, I'll give you 10. He was no fool. And God said, okay. I mean, God bought into it. And God blessed him. And Jacob kept it. But he was conniving, sneak. And God had to get a hold of his life. And so you see that Abraham had the ability to build altars. Isaac had the ability to kind of dig wells, and Jacob really now begins to raise sheep, but they're getting away from their relationship that God taught them through Abraham, their father. So Abraham was an altered man. He was obedient. Isaac was a passive man. He was not willing to do a lot of things. It says of Isaac that his dad went and got his wife. It said of Abraham to Eliezer, go find his wife and bring her back. Now we know that it's a type of the Holy Spirit. Eliezer is like a type of the Holy Spirit going out and bringing a bride back for the church. But Isaac really didn't get too excited until he went out into the field. We know again that he enjoyed eating, and that was one of the main things he enjoyed doing. He refused to fight. You remember when he would be digging wells and beginning to establish the wells, the Philistines would come and they would cover these wells, or they would begin to fight with him and he would move on. He was not a fighter. And it's kind of cool as you begin to look at the life of Isaac that God kind of used the Philistines to get him heading towards the country of the promised land, because he was out of God's will and God was moving him back. He'd dig a well, they'd cover it. He'd dig another well, they'd cover it. And eventually he ended up in the promised land. And so he had a difficult time. And we also know that he showed favoritism. He loved Esau. He really didn't have much of a respect for Jacob, and it was a difficult relationship, and their marriage wasn't the best. They were cunning, and they were lying, and she was deceiving, and it was a mess, a total mess. And he was very, very passive. It just, you know, whatever happens, happens. He was probably wore Hawaiian shirts, flip-flops, and sandals, and just shades, and, hey, babe, what's going on today? What's for dinner? You know, just kind of a real cool guy. But the problem is he knew. He knew in his heart. His wife knew exactly what God wanted. And sometimes we know exactly what God wants us to do. But other things are more important. Things that we put way above the Lord, way above things, and we throw our love and our life into situations that are not pleasing before God. And so we find that he was a disobedient man because he refused to acknowledge God's will. He was not a strong man because he did not fight for the wells that he had. And he was not an outspoken man because he didn't say anything about his wedding. And he was not a fighter at all. And so there are some of us kind of like that. We're passive. We're just kind of cool, and we don't want to make waves and don't want to cause problems. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But here's what I do see sometimes in that type of a personality. You look at strength and you say, I don't want that type of strength. I'd rather not offend anybody or talk to anybody, or I don't want to rock the boat. And what happens is you really never make a stand for anything. You can be passive, but you must make a stand. You can be tender-hearted and graceful and merciful, but you must make a stand. You must make a stand for righteousness. You don't need to copy those who are stronger, maybe more aggressive. Sometimes you don't like them, but I would suggest that God puts you in places where you're going to find the opposite. And so people who are aggressive and people who are stronger are kind of drawn towards more passive people. They see the kindness of leadership. They see the gentleness. They see the heart. And that's a wonderful gift. But sometimes you're walked over. And people take advantage of you, and you allow people to abuse you, and then you become bitter. And so there's a balance. Those who are aggressive need to be tender, and those who are tender need to be strong. And God is seeking to bring the very best out in your life, but he was passive. But not only was he passive, Isaac also became fleshly, as I mentioned to you in chapter 27, verse 3 and 4. But now, therefore, take I pray thee the weapons, and go out into the field and get me some venison, and make me my favorite dish, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat and my soul may be blessed before I die. And so he was governed by the flesh. He said to the whole trickery, you remember? He said, it's the voice of Jacob. Come here, let me touch you. And you remember Rebecca put the wool, the fur upon his arm, and he was able to touch. Yes, it's my son Esau's hair. And let me smell you, come here. Yep, it's you, Esau. You smell like an animal, it's you. You know, Jacob was a lover. He was a mama's boy. He was inside cooking, and Rebecca loved him. But Jacob didn't really know what to do. He was now in the process of deceiving his father. And Rebekah said, listen, you do this, and may the curse be upon me. But she saw her husband. He was unwilling to be obedient to what God said. Now, I don't condone what she did. And what she did is she deceived her husband. I believe that God would have worked it out. But she followed the example that Sarah gave her. Because when Sarah didn't see God move, she gave Abraham Hagar. So let's help God out. So Abraham goes in, has a relationship with Hagar, and we have Ishmael. And so you have the two nations today. Well, again, we find Rebecca now seeking to help God out because the end justifies the means, but it doesn't. You see, Rebecca wasn't trusting God. She wasn't able to trust her husband. And she wasn't about to lose the blessing that God said. But if God said it, nothing's going to overshadow that blessing. And so the whole thing transpires. She cooks that dinner. She goes out and she gets the venison. She fixes it the way that Esau does. They put this thing on his arm. They put a little of animal smell on his neck. He goes in. He deceives his father. And Jacob is buying it. Isaac is buying it. All he wants is food. All he wants is to eat. He's not real concerned about anything else in his life. Just bless me. And that's where the church is today. Oh, bless me. Help me. Give me. That's where the generation is today. The me generation. I just need to be blessed and everything's about me. So our eyes are dimmed. Our strength is little. And we're kind of seeing things and not being obedient to what God wants. And you have Christians deceiving each other, and you have Christians lying to each other, and you have this going on, and you have Christians helping each other help God, and you have Christians making their own decisions what they should do, and it's just sad because they break authority and they don't understand the rules that God has laid down. And so every man does that which is right in his own eyes. In other words, because we don't trust God, we take things into our own hands. And we just mess things up. And so he lies. Rebecca's lying. Now Jacob's lying. And the tragic thing that you need to understand about the story is that God honored Rebecca because she never, ever saw her boys again. Jacob was never able to come back, and Esau just split. And he just went, and we get the Edomites. And so we find Herod coming out of that whole descendant of Esau, the Edomites. And they were wicked, horrible people that hated Christ. And he was hated. He hated Jacob. And Jacob went running for his life. And he ran, and he ran, and he ran, and he ran. That's why God took him one day, Jacob, and touched his thigh. So he couldn't run. He'd have to face Esau. But getting back to Isaac, he just wanted to be left alone and eat. And sometimes when you're passive, you see your husband going down, or you see your children doing something, you know it's wrong, but you don't want to cause a fight. Well, sometimes God wants you to make a stand. And if you don't, you're going to find yourself in a difficult situation. And here, Esau, once again, was out in the field seeking to get the food. And Isaac was now before his father. Jacob was before his father Isaac. And Isaac sought to change the will of God. He knew exactly what God wanted. And that's the thing that really fascinates me. Isaac, you knew because you were married to Rebecca. Why did you want to change it? Why would you change it for something as silly as food? Let me ask you the question. Why do we change the will of God when we find a blonde, blue eye, or a redhead, you know? Well, it's okay. I can date her. I'm going to bring her to Christ. When's the last time you led anybody to Christ? Well, that's not important. It sure is. So you're going to change the will of God. Where he says, be not unequally yoked. Now you're going to change that because you are in love. Oh, yeah. I'm going to win her. If you can't win your own heart, you're never going to win anybody. And here's the tragic deception. You think you can change a woman? You think you can change a guy? You think you have any capacity to change a heart? You think that anything you do can make somebody love you more? Nothing. There's only two things that can change a human heart. The world or the spirit of the living God. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And all of a sudden I think, well, I know my kid's heart. I can change my kid's heart. No, you can't. And you don't know him. And that's why we give our kids to Christ. That's why we give our wives and our husbands to Christ, because you might think everything's fine, but it's really not. But in your mind, you feel like you can change a person's heart by doing this or doing that, and you can string them along and you can pull these strings, but you're not going to do it. And that's exactly what Isaac was doing. He was seeking to change God's will. Because he put the food first, and therefore he was going to give the blessing to his elder son, Jacob. And Isaac sought to change it. He was seeking to alter the very plan of God. But then I noticed, lastly, not only was Isaac passive, and secondly, Isaac was fleshly, but thirdly, Isaac was godly. At the very end, and this is the whole heart of the story, in Genesis 27, verse 32, he surrenders to faith. And let me lead you through this. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, "Who art thou?" He said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn." Now, this is after he gave the blessing to Esau, or Jacob. And Isaac thought that he was giving it to Esau, but he was really giving it to Jacob. So his dad was deceived. Rebekah was happy, and Jacob was thrilled to death that he not only received the blessing, but the inheritance. So Esau comes in. He has killed the venison. He has prepared it. He comes before his dad. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, "Who are you?" He said, "I am your firstborn, Esau." And Isaac trembled. Now, why did he tremble? Why did he tremble? I believe because he sought to trick God, and he was tricked. And there are times in your life, now listen to me very carefully, that you plan things very well. And somewhere along the line, the thing gets turned upside down. And you become very, very angry. And then something happens, and you hear God's voice. And you realize that it was God that turned the thing upside down. And you begin to tremble. I looked at this a long time. I really wanted to know what it meant. By faith, he blessed Jacob. When in reality, he was such a failure as a father. And such a failure as a leader. How could he go down in the hall of faith? And I believe it's right here. That when he understood that he was tricked. When he knew that he had done the will of God in blessing Jacob. When he had a moment to think it through and realize that he was set up and that the blessing went to the one that God wanted to be blessed. It was no longer a fight against Rebekah. It was now something between him and God. And I believe right here is where faith really kicks in. And let me tell you how it works. I believe there are times in my life and in your life that we really hit a low spot. We would even say that sometimes we have let God down and we have been a failure. We have planned and we have governed our life and we have done certain things and all of a sudden now our life is upside down. But in that moment of weakness, in that moment of total despair, in that moment of perplexity, in that moment where you understand that you're trembling because God's in this thing, if you will do what Isaac did, God will bless you. Isaac held his guns because Esau came back and said, "Change it, Dad." And Isaac said, "What's done is done." In other words, I've been tricked once, and I've been tricked again, but I'm not going to fight with God any longer in my life. And because of that faith, He surrendered to the sovereignty of God. And so you can try to change your husband, or you can try to change your wife, or you can try to change your children. You know what I'm talking about. And you really think you're doing it, and all of a sudden you make a mess out of things, and you're about ready to lose everything. And you realize that now God is speaking to you, and you're the one He's been after. You're the one with the attitude. You're the one with the heart. You're the one that's not trusting God, and God is speaking to you. If you at that moment will say, God, I surrender, God will heal everything. And it goes on to say in verse 34, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with Seledi and has taken away the blessing. He said, is not the right name Jacob? For he has supplanted me. Two times he took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken my blessing. He said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brothers have I given to him for thy servants, and with the corn and the wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be in the fatness of the earth, of the dew of the heavens of above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning of my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Now turn with me as I close tonight to Romans chapter 9. And this really now becomes kind of an interesting verse. Now, in the study of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 9. In the study of the book of Romans, we know that in verses, chapters 9, 10, and 11, have to deal with God's chosen people. God's going to bring them back into the land, and God's going to redeem them one day. But in Romans, in chapter 9, there's an interesting verse in verse 11. He says this, for the children being not yet born, that would be Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau, the children yet not born, neither have done any good or evil. In other words, either one of them have done any good or evil. That the purposes of God according to election might stand, not of works according to what Isaac did with eating, but of him that called it. Now what he's saying is that before the foundations of the earth, I chose Jacob. And it didn't make a difference what they were going to do. I knew who was going to love me, and I knew who was going to hate me, but I chose them, I elected them, I called them. Now notice verse 12. It was said unto her, that would be Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. And what he's saying, and this is so cool, is that no matter what happens in your life, you cannot blame people. Because people cannot hinder the work of God in your life. The purposes of God are going to stand. And the work of God is going to get done. So you might have a difficult relationship you're in right now. But God knew it before the foundations of the earth. And God knew exactly what was going to happen. And he knew who was going to trust him and who was not going to trust him. But when you look at the faith, this is what excites me. By faith, he blessed Jacob. When his son Esau came back in and said, Dad, reverse this curse, his dad said, nope, what I have done, I have done. And at that moment, I get goosebumps because I realize that there are times in my life I make horrible decisions. And I'm just trying to get out of it. But if I would at that moment surrender what I have left to the sovereignty of God and accept what's happening in my life for the glory of God, He would take it and He would bless it, and down the road He would show me that He was in it. You say, how can that be? Well, there was a ship on the way to Malta. It got caught in the storm, you remember, for 2 weeks. It was driven here and there, and the mast was broken. But check this out. When it came out of the storm, it was right where it had to be, in front of Malta. And it was closer to Rome. And it was where God wanted it. And so even the storms are sent by God. Your life is ordained by the Almighty Living God. And the things that you go through might be your making, like Rebecca, Jacob. And it will hurt you. And it will hurt relationships. Rebecca never saw her boys again. But that day, God's word was fulfilled. The younger shall serve the older. And that day, even in the mess of man's ability, God came through. And that's the hope that God wants you to have tonight. You mess a relationship up, if you turn to God, He'll fix it. If you refuse to turn to God, you're going to mess it up more. It takes great faith to surrender and give what's left back to God. And so I honor Isaac tonight, because I don't see that type of faith among us. A faith that wants to fix it, then give it back to God. How stupid can you be? You got yourself in the mess. Let God get you out of it. No, I gotta fix it, then I'll come back to church. Well, here's the coolest thing. Later on, it says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm His God. And that's what God's saying to you tonight. You're gonna mess things up. You're going to try to do it on your own. You're going to get yourself in a horrible situation. But the moment you give it to me, I'll fix it. And I'll put you in the hall of faith. Because even though you were seeking to change my will, you can't. And you won't. And now you know. And I think when I look at Jacob, let me tell you this. This is so cool. I think when Jacob did everything, I wrote this in my journal about 2 years ago. When Jacob did everything, he sent his family across and went back to Jabbok to do something, and God was there. I just think personally that God just said, hey, Jacob, how you doing? What are you doing here? Oh, I knew that you're going to be here. You knew I was going to be here? I knew you're going to be here right now. Well, I did this and this and this and this and this and this, and I did this and this and this. I did Laban, I did this, I did Laban, I did this, I did this. I know. I watched you. I helped you. I was there. But I've been waiting for you. Hi. Ready? Round one. Ding. Bam. You can't outsmart God. So quit blaming people and start living by faith.
Are you looking for a church home? One that has something for you, your spouse, and your kids? Well, that's what you'll find at Calvary Chapel South Bay in the city of Gardena. With dozens of ways to get involved, you're sure to find a good fit for everyone in your family. Go to our website and click on the link titled Ministries and learn about some of the ways you can put your faith into action. Better yet, join us this Sunday morning for worship at 8, 9:45, or 11:30. We're located at the corner of Vermont and Knox in Gardena. Need more info? Give us a call at 310-352-3333. That's 310-352-3333. Or find us online at ccsouthbay.org. Calvary Chapel South Bay, the place for you and your family.